Welcome back to the Go to the Local podcast. We're in the Queen's Arms with David Paulin this time for a slightly different episode. David's part of an initiative called the Compass Project, which focuses on mental health in pubs and bars. So instead of the usual format, we'll talk a bit about the project and see how we go from there. So David, welcome and thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
This evening. So we'll start by asking, what is the Compass Project? What do people need to know about it?
Okay, the Compass Project is an initiative that I created that's trying to increase mental health support for London's pub workers and also for people that come into London's pubs. And basically it revolves around kind of three pillars to the project, if you have kind of pillars on a project, but they are training, removing and creating. And so it begins with training pub workers from all across London in mental health first aid through the Kelly's Cause Foundation, which is a charity that works specifically in training people as mental health first aiders for the hospitality workplace.
Yep.
And then once we've done that, we go into the workplaces, and with Post Pieces, which is an arts charity, we then run arts workshops that kind of set to remove the stigma that surrounds mental health, but also creatively explore ways in which you can care for yourself and care for your mental health, and kind of promote creativity, not as like a product-driven thing, but much more about the process of being creative and how good that can make you feel and how it can improve your headspace, really.
Right.
And then lastly is the creating part, where once we've unearthed all these stories and experiences and we've found out of all the different things that go on in London pubs, then I'm getting together a group of professional actors and we are going to devise a theatre piece that will be on in a London pub that will be about challenging people's perception of pub workers in London and what their relationship is with their mental health and with their jobs and the people that come into these pubs.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds amazing. I mean, mental health is more and more spoken about these days, I suppose, but when we were younger, because it was unseen, it wasn't really spoken about.
Mm.
And maybe because of that, there was a bit of a taboo around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is changing these days, mm-hmm. but probably because of projects like this, I think.
Yeah.
Just breaking down those barriers and getting people talking.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that what's been great as well in the past kind of 5-10 years is we've seen like loads more awareness, loads of talking, lots of celebrities doing brilliant work where they are speaking about their mental health, speaking about their struggles, and talking so, so openly about the things that have happened. But now I kind of feel, and the two other people, Toby Anadark and Peter Heenan, that run the two respective charities, they are feeling the same thing, which is that it feels like now the awareness is there, the talk is there, the conversations are open, which are a key part to mental good health, but it's now time for action.
Yes.
And I feel like that there's a gap between awareness and action, and people kind of are aware of what mental health is, what can contribute towards bad mental health and what can contribute towards good mental health, but actually in taking action to protect your mental health, to improve your mental health, and to care for yourself, that is where like we're still at the early first stages of turning it into practical action.
Yeah.
I think that's where the mental health first aid course is so good, because it views it like any other first aid course, you know, and it looks at really practical terms of how you can care for someone who's struggling with their mental health, how you can spot signs, warning signs of mental ill health, and how you can look after yourself if you're caring for someone who's got bad mental health. Mm.
So the first aid mental health training, so this is in existence already? And it's about trying to bring this to this audience that you're a part of.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So it's Mental Health First Aid England
run
the training, and they've been running it for, I think, upwards of maybe 5 years. But Toby Anadark, she worked as a professional chef. She was a head chef of Cricket London.
Right.
And she was a Cordon Bleu trained chef. And unfortunately, one of her friends that she went to chef school, Cordon Bleu school with, unfortunately committed suicide, which made Toby kind of rethink what her kind of workplace was, what her industry was, and what her place within that industry was going to be. And she kind of left being a professional chef behind to start up this charity that was going to train people as mental health first aiders, but for the hospitality workplace.
Specifically, yeah.
Exactly, because it's just such different demands and such a different day-to-day job to be in an office.
I was going to ask you about that. So from the outside, I would have thought that the particular challenges you'd have working in the industry
late nights, so maybe disrupted sleep, not that sort of regimented 9-to-5 that office people have. Maybe being surrounded by alcohol all the time. I mean, are those the sort of challenges that the people particularly face behind bars in pubs and restaurants? Or
absolutely.
What else?
It's like any, it's funny, I work as an actor as well, and it's a similar job in a lot of ways, because actors work a lot of nights, actors work in close proximity to alcohol, there's always a bar attached to a theatre, and actors are in a like customer facing service role in a way, so they have to deal with members of the public a lot, maybe not in the same way as you do whenever you're working behind a bar, but it's still the same, and a lot of the time it's similar issues where people will finish a busy shift and they will go home and they'll struggle to get to sleep, and because they've been surrounded by alcohol the whole night, their solution to that is alcohol, you know, and really it becomes medicinal alcohol use rather than recreational. And I think that's whenever lines can get blurred and it can become a bit, people's relationship with it can become a bit complicated. And I think as well with working behind a bar, what makes it kind of more unique than working in a restaurant is that you're working with drunk people a lot of the time, or people that are drinking. And I think that that means that people can be very quick to react to things, and also a lot more confident to react to things in a way they normally wouldn't if you were having an issue in your office space, maybe. So, and then the danger of that is that if you're struggling with your mental health and you're maybe at home talking to yourself in a way you just shouldn't, you know, being really harsh to yourself, not being compassionate or empathetic towards yourself, and then you come to work and someone speaks down to you, it just reinforces all this negativity that you're already putting towards yourself.
So
I think that's a huge part of what the Compass Project's trying to do, is trying to make sure people know how to care for themselves if they have maybe a really negative experience with a customer, that they know how to care for themselves after that, you know, and block out that negativity.
Yeah, and you mentioned negative experiences with customers. So we've spoken a bit about the importance for the people working here, but you also mentioned for people who come in through the door, and as you mentioned, potentially getting progressively drunker through the evening, and maybe the head drops a little bit because they're drinking for to forget or some other reason. So is there an element of that, and how will that play into the training?
At the minute, I'm not really sure how that's going to actually play into the training. Is a set course, and how it's used is going to be just really interesting to find out. I'm just excited to find out how it's going to be applied. But I know that for me, working behind the bar, I've seen so many people that I just feel like are a little bit lost. They come in here and they're looking for answers, they're looking for help, but the help that they find is a pint, you know? And so for me, I'm kind of excited that maybe this training course could be applied to someone coming into a bar who's maybe feeling a bit lost, maybe they refuse service because they're too drunk, but they could be invited back in to maybe come by and have a non-alcoholic drink and to speak to this member of staff that's trained as a mental health first aider. I remember whenever I kind of was thinking about doing the project at the very beginning of it, I was sort of I had like a lot of self-doubt problems, and I kind of was like, well, who am I to run this project, and I'm just some guy, I'm not a mental health expert. And I came to work as I was kind of thinking about all this, and a guy tried to get served, and I think he was having some kind of psychotic episode and was speaking to himself, trying to talk to me, was kind of disturbed by how noisy the pub was. And I like walked him outside, kind of tried to de-escalate him as much as I knew how to, and said to him, you know, you can't come back here. This isn't me kicking you out. You can't come back here whenever maybe things have calmed down a little bit and we can talk. And I thought that is the best way that maybe this training could be applied, where we're not turning people into therapists. We're not turning bar staff into therapists, but we're just giving them the resources and awareness of the resources that they can maybe point the customer in the right direction if they're feeling a bit lost.
Yeah, and sometimes that, I imagine, is all it can take sometimes, just a friendly word, a conversation, just an arm around the shoulder maybe. And I'm sure that can have a massive impact on people who are in a real state sometimes.
And you never know like how significant that bit of kindness or compassion might be to that person, you know, especially coming from behind a bar where you might not expect it, you know, they might be kind of sidelined by it.
So you mentioned, you know, your sort of own self-doubt, like who am I to want to be launching this initiative? But I'm interested, what made you want to get involved in something like this, and what was the sort of genesis of it?
Yeah, lots and lots of things, to be honest with you. I grew up in a house, my eldest brother has schizophrenia, and he kind of had a mental breakdown about 10 years ago. And so I like have experienced firsthand what it's like to maybe grow up in a house with someone who's really mentally ill,
yep.
and how that then can affect your own mental health. And then you learn a little bit more about how to care for your mental health through that. And I remember during that time, he would go out drinking quite a lot. And luckily, this was a very short period of time. He never really struggled with alcohol, but he would just go out drinking. I'm not sure really why, but I remember thinking it wouldn't be great if you could make a therapist's office that had a front of a bar, so people would come into this bar and not know they were speaking to a therapist.
Yeah.
And so they would get like, unsuspecting therapy off this barman.
Right.
And it was this kind of like mad little idea that I had that I thought was quite interesting. And then I met Tobiana Dirk, who runs Kelly's Cause, that does the mental health training for hospitality workplaces. And I just thought there's no better workplace that would benefit from a scheme like that than a pub or a bar.
Yeah.
And then from just from working in here, just seeing people struggle with their mental health, having staff sometimes have a panic attack and not really know how to deal with that. And I always thought that was really difficult because the job is so demanding and it is so stressful. And you want to be able to care for your staff, you know, you care about them, about their well-being. And I just really struggled with not knowing how to deal with these issues. So whenever I heard what Tobiana Dirk was doing, I thought it'd be brilliant to bring to a bar or a pub workplace. And then I also knew that like with Peter's work, with the Post Pieces workshops, they are great at creating a safe space to allow people to open up, because opening up is the hardest step.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that if you have this trained individual there, you create the space that allow people to open up, then you're much more likely to get engagement with that person that's received the training.
Yeah, yeah. No, it totally makes sense. Does this form of training or anything in this sort of area been done before that you know of in pubs? Because as you say, it does seem like the ideal environment for it, because everything's so heightened. It's loud, there's booze, you know, emotions tend to run high at the best of times. So has this been done before that you know of, or is this?
I don't think that, no, I would say the training has probably been carried out with bar staff, but I don't think maybe it's been carried out specifically for bar staff. And I don't think that the training has been coupled with the arts element of the project either. I think there's something really powerful about receiving the training and then getting people to create in a room together that are not creatives, quote unquote, you know, aren't creative for money.
Yeah.
You know, they work behind a bar and don't engage with creativity.
Yeah, yeah.
So to the best of my knowledge, no, but I might be totally treading on someone's toes by saying that, and there might be another project out there that's
well, as long as you're not knowingly saying that, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, but, I don't know that I'm doing it.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds unique, and yeah, I think you're doing a great thing. So yeah, all power to you for this one. I know you've been going around London trying to sign up pubs and late night venues of all sorts to join the project and I guess be trained in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you with that at the moment? How's that looking? Who's signed up?
It's going good. In terms of sign-ups, we've got really it's about trying to figure out whether the pubs that we originally had signed up were coming back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like an ongoing process because the landscape's just totally changed.
Yeah.
It's just completely
It's hard to
changed.
Make commitments this year.
It's so difficult. And it was already difficult for anyone that worked behind a bar to make any kind of commitment. But now with this, with the whole coronavirus thing, it's just incredibly hard to get engagement on the project. Mm-hmm. So we've actually restructured it.
Okay.
We've actually changed it from the full project, which is the training of the mental health first aid course and then the post pieces workshops and then creating the theatre piece. We've actually moved that to January time.
Mm-hmm.
Now
it's a bit quieter then.
Exactly. And we're kind of getting a wee bit closer to the run for Christmas, and also we're moving into really uncertain times. We actually know what's going to be happening over the next few months.
Got it.
But now instead what we're going to do is around the beginning of October we're going to have a half day mental health aware training day followed by a post pieces workshop for a series of bartenders that are kind of based east, north, west and south of London.
Okay.
And we're going to try and bring them together and train them up in mental health, give them an understanding of what mental health is and how to care for their mental health, create some stuff together, and then over the course of Christmas we're going to do like more continuous support because of the kind of continuous nature of mental good health, which will involve like a running club for bartenders, because like I think the park run's like a mental health phenomenon, like so many people that just thought running was totally inaccessible, or out there on like a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, like running around the park in big like groups. Obviously, we can't do the big groups thing now, but we can do the run about the park thing. Yeah. And so on a Monday morning, which will work for bartenders, over the Christmas months, we're going to be out there running about the place and just like improving our mental health through it. And then I'm going to hopefully get a series of DJs to create mental health mixtapes that will be for bartenders that have finished busy shifts. They can plug in this mixtape and on their tube journey home, they can relax and unwind without alcohol.
Yep.
So they're chilled out and then they can go to bed and get a good night's sleep.
Brilliant.
And offer this kind of continuous support to people.
Are there spaces still available? Can people still get involved?
There is a few spaces still available on it. Now, it's all being it's all up in the air right now because we're not sure whether we're going to have to do it in two groups of six or whether we can kind of... we're exempt from the rule of six because it's not a social gathering, it's a training. So we're still trying to figure out where we stand on that.
The devil is in the detail with this stuff, isn't it? We don't really know.
No, and I'm sort of reaching out to people, hoping they'll tell me, and I'm going to come back with more questions than I have before. But at the minute, it looks like it's going to be at the start of October. Not all the places are taken, but they're filling up really, really fast. So if anyone wanted to become involved, the best thing to do would be get on the Compass Project's Instagram, which is at @the.compassproject. And so if they follow the project's Instagram, which is just getting up and running now, if they message me on that, it'll either be me or Peter Heenan, who runs Post Pieces, that will reply. We can hopefully get them squeezed on and signed on to the project.
Now, you mentioned East, North, West and South London. You're trying to get people involved. Is that why this is called the Compass Project?
It's part of the reason why it's called the Compass Project, yeah. The name comes from the idea of feeling lost and finding direction.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's about people who may be working in London's bar and pub industry, or people that may be coming in and enjoying London's bar and pub industry, sometimes maybe feeling lost, and you're hoping that this training will be able to give them a sense of direction in some way. And it's also that it's meant to be, it's all encompassing, you know, it doesn't just end at the training. It also has this arts element. It's about getting a workplace together that normally socialise through alcohol and getting to socialise through like watercolours and acrylic paints instead. And also just, the northeast, southwest thing too.
Very nice. Now, it wouldn't be the Go to the Local podcast without a little bit of chat about pubs. So you're a manager here at the Queen's Arms. Tell us a little bit about the pub, the area, the people that come in, and this is your chance to plug it, I guess.
Okay, cool. The Queen's Arms it's on the corner of Walthamstow Village, and Walthamstow's like, kind of like any area in London where it's seen a lot of change over the last 10 years.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe to some people it's unrecognisable to what it was like before. And just like any kind of change, people have good and bad views on it. The Queen's Arms is on the corner of Walthamstow Village. It's I like it as a pub because it's got like big open windows at the front, which I actually really like because it lets a lot of light in. It feels very social. It feels very like inviting that you can walk past the pub and see like who's in it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's quite social and quite like nice. It gives it a bit of a community hub feel. And in terms of like who comes in, it's loads of people come in through the doors. Lots of families on a Saturday and Sunday, especially because it's a good Sunday roast here. So lots and lots of families would be in for that.
Yeah, I've definitely been up here a few Sundays in the past few years. And yeah, a good amount of families. But as you say, it's good. It's a really good mix, actually. Mm. And I guess that's the hard thing to get when you're a pub, really, is a sense of you're welcome, no matter who you are.
Yes, yeah. And I think that Lawrence, the owner, has done a good job because he has like lots of like nice, cool, trendy, interesting beers on tap.
Yep.
And like nice tins of different things and bottles of like flavoured cider. So you attract people who want something a little bit different. And he gets like cool artwork up on the walls that's by like a local photographer. And just has like brilliant food as well on the go. Like it just really elevates pub food here a little bit. So it means that it appeals to like a really wide market of people. So you just get such a range of people coming through the door.
Yeah, yeah. And a nice little courtyard where we're recording tonight. I mean, it feels like this might be the last courtyard session of the year.
I think so, yeah. It'll probably be shut after this.
But it's really nice. And it's been great coming up here to have a chat with you. Actually, one more question before we go. So I usually ask guests to give me their pub pet peeves, the things about pubs that they don't like as much. I mean, there's loads of things which we all do love about pubs, but the odd thing, and it's usually about the toilets or some sort of bugbear that someone has. But speaking to you, you know, the first person I've had on that is at the other side of the bar. Mm-hmm. What are the sort of things that maybe annoy you about the people that come in, or things that you'd like them to know that perhaps they don't appreciate? Mm.
I think that's such an interesting question, because whenever I was first setting up the Compass Project and I had people signed on to the project, I'd send them a list of questions. Mm. And two of the questions were, what's your favorite thing about working behind a bar, and what's your least favorite thing? And every single time, like nearly every single person that I asked said their favorite thing was the customers and their least favorite thing was the customers. So I don't think that people that come into a bar, come into a restaurant or any hospitality venue know the impact that they have on the people that work there. They actually dictate what the job is. So I think for me, the thing that I really don't like is how customers don't realize the impact that they have. And in terms, that can go both ways. That can be a positive and negative thing, because sometimes you have some customers that come in here and are so grateful, and you've clearly facilitated quite a significant, you know, night for them, and they've enjoyed it so much, and it actually, their appreciation and gratitude touches you and reaffirms the job for you. But equally, you know, you have people that come in here and are just, yeah, maybe you're just like upset about different things going on in their lives, and you're just an easy person to take it out on.
Yeah.
Or they're just had too much to drink, you know.
Or both.
Yeah, which is more than often the case. But so for me, it's just my pet peeve about customers is just that they don't realize the impact that they have. Mm. And that impact can be a positive one or it can be a negative one. But ultimately, that impact is a choice that they make on how they deal with you on that night.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I guess there must be something in it where people who come in think, well, this person is just the pub, so it's not bad if I behave badly to this person, because I'm behaving badly to the pub, which is an inanimate object. But obviously there's a person there, and maybe there's some sort of difficulty that people have splitting apart those two things. I don't know, that's me with my COD psychology hat on.
But I think you're right, because you're kind of representing the business, and people aren't annoyed at you personally, obviously, because you could just be someone who works one shift a week there. They're annoyed at the larger business model or something, but they don't know that the impact can be quite great.
No, that's a good point, and I hadn't really considered that it would be both the positive and the negative.
And there is positives. There's nights I remember in here, and you bump into people, you have conversations with people, and they really stick with you and they really make an impact. Mm-hmm. I had one guy, he was in here and he asked me, you know, like, are you having a good night? And I was like, yeah, no, I am. I was like, I really enjoy working in here. And he was like, yeah, no, that's great. He was like, I pay to come in here and you're paid to be here. He was like, that's brilliant, isn't it?
I
never had thought about it that way. I thought it was such a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
So it can be a real positive impact.
Brilliant. And then, aside from here, other favourite pubs that you particularly like, either in Walthamstow or further afield? Or even back home?
Or back home? Back home, there's a great bar called the Jaggy Nettle, which is in Stranmillis, which is a real dog-friendly pub, which is quite unusual in Belfast, because pubs are a lot more of a traditional space in Belfast. Mm. So it's very dog-friendly, but also what's great is it has no kitchen. So at 5 o'clock on a Friday, they come round with like a little brown bag that they give every single customer. And in it is like this like Dromora Irish butter and these Belfast Baps and tato cheese and onion crisps, which are the Irish crisps. And so you can make yourself like a crisp sandwich and you just get that for free at 5 o'clock on a Friday. This is
brilliant. The dream.
I know.
Wow. I mean, that's something that I think every pub in London should consider getting into.
It must be a terrible business model. I don't know how they turn a profit doing that, but it's just such a lovely gesture.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I mean, as a northerner, I do love a crisp sandwich.
Ah, brilliant. Yeah.
Even now, where, you know, I'll buy a sandwich or order one in a pub, and I'll always just slide a few crisps in just for extra crunch.
Yeah.
But, you know, just getting that for free. Butter and a bap.
I know.
Wonderful.
Yeah, hard to beat. Yeah.
And then in London, any favourites?
In London, I have loads of favourites, actually. There's loads of really good bars. You're totally spoiled.
It's hard to choose.
Bars in London, it's so difficult to choose. I love Homeboy in Islington and Angel. Because it's like a very modern Irish bar, and it's a very untwee and unlike faux Irish bar. It's just like quite modern. It's
I've heard trendy. The Guinness is really good there.
Guinness is brilliant.
Yeah.
Possibly one of the best pints of Guinness in London. I'm not sure, but the Guinness is great, and they have like really interesting quirky cocktails that are like, you know, themed on Irishness, but like it's very modern, very contemporary, and they're just incredibly welcoming and good at what they do.
Brilliant. Cool. Great. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure coming up and having a chat with you, David, so thanks for having me
in the pub.
And just to everyone, just again, if you do want to get involved or learn more about the project, it's at the.compassproject on Instagram. That's right,
that's it. Yeah,
great. Okay, well, thanks again, David. Thanks to the Queen's Arms for having us, and we'll see you next time.